Blog Talk Radio.
And today's guest is Kevin Hein, who is one of the top franchise attorneys and experts in the country. And Kevin is a partner with the Denver office of Snell & Wilmer LLP, where he co-chairs the firm's retail and franchise services practice group. And Don, I think I'm up. In addition to the business plan that we were just talking about, what are the mandatory documents that one must create in order to offer and sell franchises?
Sure. Couple of things. First of all, in order to sell a franchise or offer a franchise anywhere in the United States, a franchise system has to have what's called a Uniform Franchise Offering Circular. That's a document, and it's a disclosure document. It's designed to inform a prospective franchisee about anything the prospect, not anything, let me back up, about certain information that the FTC has decided and various registration states have decided are critical pieces of information in order to make the franchisee knowledgeable about making the investment.
Right.
The document, as I mentioned in the last segment, is the same format regardless of the industry. So there's 23 items that every franchisor must discuss, and it covers everything from who's the franchisor, who are the key officers and directors, what's the investment, what are the franchisee's responsibilities, what are the franchisor's responsibilities, how many franchises are in the system, etc. The document also contains a copy of every agreement that the prospective franchisee could be required to sign at the beginning of the relationship. So it can be pretty thick.
Right.
Some systems are so big and so developed that they look like small telephone books.
Right.
And, it's a very... For most people, I think it's an intimidating document, but it's a really critical document for prospective franchisees to read and give careful consideration to.
Right.
And then
the
second
thing
that ever
happened, in the industry, Kevin, is having this UFOC. I don't know if you heard the first segment. We talked about the last 30 years, a little bit of history, an article in Entrepreneur, and all this regulation, things like the UFOC, is really what made franchising so successful.
Oh, I think that that's absolutely correct. I did hear part of your segment, and I think when you look at the scams that happened in the 50s and 60s where people literally were selling franchise concepts that didn't exist,
right?
But they were really good salespeople, and there was no disclosure requirement, there was nothing. So, a silver-tongued salesman could sell anything. There's a great story about Minnie Pearl and the infamous Minnie Pearl chicken franchise. Most people know Minnie Pearl or recall her from her days with the Grand Ole Opry.
Right.
And... somebody went out and invented a chicken franchise concept that supposedly she was affiliated with, and they were out there selling it, and she knew nothing about it. And literally they were taking people's investment dollars and disappearing into the night. And that really led to franchise regulation. The first law was passed in California in, I think, 1972. The Federal Trade Commission's law became effective in 1979. But as Don, you had mentioned in some of the stuff you were reading, the history of franchising has I think in the last 30 years been saved largely because of these disclosure requirements.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Should one consult a franchise attorney, Kevin? As you said, some of these documents, these UFOCs, could be quite intimidating. They're supposed to be written in layman's terms, but when you see something, as you say, like a telephone directory, I guess it could be quite overwhelming for somebody. Should someone consult a franchise attorney?
Absolutely. If somebody is looking to invest in a franchise of any kind, that one of the best ways they can spend dollars is to consult a franchise attorney. And again, it needs to be a franchise attorney, and that's for a couple of reasons.
Right.
First of all, they don't want to spend a lot of money with somebody who doesn't understand franchising. Because somebody who doesn't understand franchising is going to look at these documents and say, wow, this is crazy. I'd never do this. These documents are very one-sided, and by definition they are. They're very franchisor-friendly.
Right.
But I will tell you that if you're a franchisee in a system and you're a good operator and you follow the rules, those documents are your best friends because those documents allow the franchisor to take care of the troubling franchisees. But if you bring these documents to somebody who's not a franchise attorney, they're either going to potentially dissuade you from purchasing a franchise because they think the documents are unfair, or they're going to spend a lot of time trying to mark them up and get them changed. And, the bottom line is, if you're buying a single unit franchise, you have virtually no negotiating power, even with a small and emerging franchise company. And so you could spend a lot of your very scarce resources paying an attorney to mark up a document that's not going to get you anywhere. And that's why you want to go to somebody who understands franchising, will use your money wisely, will inform you of the risks and anything that may be odd or unusual about the particular franchise system you're looking at, but isn't going to try and rewrite the document on your nickel.
Absolutely.
That's a good point you made, yeah. Kevin, how even though it's pro-franchise UFOC, but overall it protects that franchisee, you know, with other potential franchisees coming into the system. So, you know, there is a lot of protection for you, in a, you know, thinking from that aspect.
Right. Absolutely.
And besides UFOC, you're having someone like yourself hiring your services, there's the review of the franchise agreement. And what are some of the other things that you can do for a franchisee?
Oh, that a franchise attorney can do?
Right.
The first thing you want to do is have the franchise attorney review the offering circular and the franchise agreement. And like I said, you want them really to focus on anything that's unusual, particularly onerous, or kind of out of the box. And those are the things that you may be able to go back to a franchisor and say, gee, this is really unusual, this royalty is way out of line with everything else, or gee, I've never seen this kind of a fee before, is there a way we can work with it? Oftentimes, the franchisor is going to say, this is the program, take it or leave it. But at least if you go in with your eyes open, you know what you're getting yourself into.
Right.
The other thing that a good franchise lawyer can help you with is to, you know, incorporate the business you're going to operate the franchise under. If you're taking retail space, that lawyer should be able to help you find a, you know, negotiate a lease. You're going to have employment issues in most franchise systems. Hopefully the lawyer either has the ability, him or herself, to give you some guidance on employment, or at least is in a firm that has an employment lawyer, so that when you start hiring employees and you bring people on board, if you have questions, you can get them answered. You know, you want to look for somebody who comes from, has enough of a background or is with a large enough firm that you can get full service, because, you know, as a business owner, you face all kinds of issues. You know,
right.
In addition to employment, you're going to have tax questions. You're going to have real estate questions. You might have questions that relate to, I don't know, an encroachment. You know, somebody's encroaching on the piece of property that you own, you know.
Right.
And so you want to work with a firm that, although you don't necessarily want to have to go to them all the time because that can get expensive, you want to know you've got access to people that can answer your questions quickly and efficiently.
Exactly. What else should one focus on, Kevin, when starting a franchise system?
Well, the other thing that's going to be critical is documenting those procedures that we talked about in an operations manual.
Right.
You know, we talked about the ease of replicating the system as being a critical component. Well, you not only have to be able to do it, but you have to be able to write it down and let other people know how to do it as well. And, you know, I've had clients come over the years who said, well, gee, I've got this binder of notes and scraps of paper and everything else, and I'm just going to kind of organize it and make that my operations manual. And I always tell them it makes sense. It will be a good investment if you either take the time yourself to really write the operations manual or hire it out. There are great companies out there that can write operations manuals, because that manual is what really saves you from a lot of grief and heartache with your franchisees.
If
you've written it down and franchisees are getting up and running and they can go to the book and figure out how to do something, they're less likely to call you. If they don't know how to do it and they can't get access to it, then they're going to be on the phone to you all the time. And
right.
If you're trying to sell franchises, you don't want to spend a ton of time also having to worry about supporting your ongoing franchisees with easy day-to-day kinds of questions. And that's why an operations manual is absolutely critical.
And that must take a long time to write, too, I imagine, too, Kevin. You know, documenting it, you know, from, I guess, you know, starting from turning the lights on in the morning till going home at the end of the night. You know,
absolutely.
I guess there's so
absolutely.
Many variables
I mean,
involved.
You know, when it comes to making a hamburger, you literally say, you know, get out the hamburger meat.
Right, exactly.
Get out the bun.
Step by step.
And you know, the operations manual doesn't just include step-by-step instructions. It includes everything from your supplier list, like who do I buy the hamburger meat from?
Right.
Who do I buy the hamburger bun from? To, you know, insurance requirements, to other operating requirements that may not impact necessarily what the franchisee does day-to-day, but overall tells the franchisee how to operate the business. And that's the other thing that franchisors need to remember, is that most franchisees are not sophisticated business people who have experience operating their own businesses.
Right.
Even if they attract people who've spent time in middle and senior management for big corporations, those people don't know what it's like to literally start a business from scratch, from incorporating it to setting up the accounting to getting the licenses and permits. And so the operations manual really needs to assume that you're starting every single time with franchisees who know absolutely nothing about
right.
not only the business that they're buying, but business in general.
Interesting.
Good point. So, Kevin, these are probably pretty busy days for you, you and your office, with just the growth of the franchise industry. Imagine you just have work galore, right?
It is absolutely amazing. We're very blessed. We represent over 100 different franchise brands, and one of the areas that we, I think, excel in here at this firm is working with emerging franchise companies. The last 2 years, we rolled out more than a dozen new systems each year, and this year we're on pace to do something more like 18 to 20.
Wow.
And you mentioned, again, Don, in the first segment that I think Entrepreneur Magazine said something like 900 new franchise systems have been created in the last 3 years.
Right.
We certainly see that. We see lots and lots of great little niche concepts that are coming to the marketplace and coming to us and coming to other franchise firms to really get themselves out and into the marketplace.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I see it as well on financing. So many of the, Marty and I talk about this a lot on the show, is all these little niche franchises. It'll be interesting to see where they go over the next few years.
Right.
All these concepts that started from, eBay, and, we mentioned coffee, and, there's so many niche markets. It's really amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Kevin, we have about 30 seconds. What's the best way for someone to get in touch with you? Website, phone number?
Website at www.swlaw.com or my phone number, 303-634-2015.
And I want to thank you again, Kevin. It was great to talk to you again, and we're definitely going to have you back because I think there's more to talk about.
Listen, I'd love the opportunity. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great
day. Thanks, Kevin. You have
thank
a great Memorial Day weekend.
All right, you too. Take care.
Right, thanks.
Take care, Kevin.
Bye.
Another great show, huh, Don?
Yeah.
Very informative. I mean, it's just there's so much more to talk about, though.
He's one of the tops in his field.
He really is. I mean, he really knows his stuff, so it was a pleasure having him. So anyway, I want to wish you a happy Memorial Day weekend, Don. Great job today. And for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com. And again, we have about 30 shows you can listen to in the archive. So thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next week.